God,
God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. Goodness. Amen. Can we please automatically, we do recover from the post. From the,
We do recover. At the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either to go on to the best we can, to the bitter end, jail, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In many years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay, I'd like to introduce the speaker for the day. I just met this young lady on the way over to this area. She's from the Double Bubble Group of Narcotics Anonymous, and her name is John.
I'm Johnny. I'm a first recovering addict.
Hey, Johnny.
Do I sit, stand, or what? I don't know what it's been flip and flop. What do I do? I'm Johnny. I'm a first recovering addict.
Hey, Johnny.
Why are we here? You know, I need to say, you know, coming down here, I know I needed to be here. Because I know for the addict who's riding with me, it's like, we ain't all here. So, you know, getting here, going to any length was like, it was real profound, because I know several times on yesterday coming here, you just wanted to turn around and, like, you know, go back. We got lost so many times, mm-hmm. and we kept saying, like, we was going at the dope, what we'll do. You know how far we'll go? We go for the dope. Now, come on now. You know, kept, I mean, if that's what it took us to pump us up and keep trying to get here, you know, we did what we had to do, you know. And then coming, though, at the end, getting here, it was like I was saying, you know, I was telling my higher power, I was like, send us an angel.
Yeah.
You know, just get a sign to get here. But we had been driving 5 hours. We only an hour and a half or 2 hours away. We had been driving like 5 hours now. And we just cut off this road, and this a guy with this white gray hair was standing there like, to me, like a glow was over his head. And he was just in the middle of nowhere talking to somebody, and he was pulling off. And so I said, go there. And I said, sir, can you please help us? He said, I'll do better than that. I'll take you there. He brought us to the gate. And I was like, okay, here we go. You know, and I was like, want to be all ready and all spiritual. You know, I started reading all my basic texts and reading this and reading that. And, you know, it was like, you know, I was just going. You know, then it hit my spirit, and I was like, just tell, why are you here? Real simple. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it now. You know, because I want to be, you know, give this profound message. You know, and remember what I'm saying? I want to do this. I want to, you know, I want the respect for my, you know, predecessor. You know, I'm just going everywhere with this. And I'm like, trying to keep it simple. You know, and I heard this at the last meeting. You know, one of my sisters in my support group said, just keep it simple. I said, okay, that's the message I need to hear. Keep it simple, Johnny. You know, I know you all teach and praise and stuff, but just keep it simple. And I was thinking, like, why am I here? You know, and I'm like, I don't know how to live, you know, without this fellowship. You know, you all teach me how to live today. There's nowhere else I could go and talk about, you know, wanting to use and, you know, I want to use. I'm not just talking about the dope. I mean, I want to, you know, I'm a married woman, and I'm talking about I want to use. You know, I want to get with another man and those kind of issues. You know, and then I go to this other fellowship, but I go in and I tell him, you know what, I'm lusting at that brother right there. And they won't be like, they may want to throw oil on my head and sit me on the floor. I don't know. But what I do know, if I come in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and I talk about that, y'all give me some solutions. You know, y'all don't judge me. You know, and I need to be somewhere like that, that people are just like me. You know, and y'all teach me, you know, how to live without the use of drugs, because I have always used. You know, I've always used every feeling I ever had, anything I used. So y'all told me if I keep coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you would teach me how to live without the use of drugs. And I can live life on life terms. See, because I remember, you know, doing some step work, and it was like, for me, it's like, I didn't know because I wasn't stroke with attention and stroke with affection and love with attention that I didn't know how to interact with other people. You know, I didn't know how to do these things. I just thought it was normal, quote, normal to get high and use that liquid drug. I just knew that was normal. You know, and if you didn't have a steel mill in your backyard because I'm a Southern girl, then something was wrong with your family, not mine. You know, that's the way I live. And every time, and I use my body for a long time. I can't go nowhere else and talk about those issues of being molested. Here's where I can talk about that because others can identify. And throughout identification, you know, then I can get some help. And so, you know, it's like, I still go to meetings, you know, real regular. I've been around here, you know, my clean date is November 11, 1991. And I still go to meetings on a regular basis. Because I know when I'm not at meetings on a regular basis, I can feel it in my spirit, my old behaviors. I start doing the same old slimy stuff I did with that dope in my body today. If I'm not here, get my medicine. See, this is my medicine. But see, I also have another disease of diabetes, and I take insulin. I have to take my medicine every day. And this is the way this program is for me. You know, Narcotics Anonymous, and being here, is I got to take my medicine real regularly. You know, and if I don't, then I'm going to flip and I'm gonna be real stupid around here, for real. You know, and I don't want to be, you know, just clean. You know, y'all teach me how to live. When I got here, y'all taught me how to be a lady. You know, when I came here, I was like at the end of the road, the animalistic level our basic texts talk about. I was below the animalistic level. I was no longer bathing, you know, washing, you know, eating with utensils. I was gorging food in my mouth with my hands. I was not bathing. I was doing any of that. I had lost the ability to do that stuff, you know, when I come here. So when I get in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I had to learn that all over again. I had to literally learn to eat with a fork and a spoon again and learn how to take a bath and brush my teeth because all I did was just put it on and roll. You know, and I learned, y'all, you know, here's where I learned how to do that stuff at. You know, I learned, like, not selling for less because I deserve the best. I stopped selling it today. So if anybody said they want me any kind of way or like me, you ain't even got to like me. I would go to bed with you. But see, y'all told me the value of my self-worth and my value, I value my body more than that today. I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that. You know, y'all taught me that. You know, my sponsor gave me some tools to deal with. You know, she said, every time somebody blames a wink at you, you don't owe them nothing. I'm like, oh, I don't. I thought, sure, I'm supposed to do something. You know, I'll give you something. You know, and I know that's why I'm here, you know, so I can learn and live. Because, you know, in this program, I have lost loved ones. You know, and death for me, you know, is like, I'm going to use. You know, if anybody dies, you know, that's that reservation I had. My family member died, somebody died, that's my excuse. I'm out. You know, but through this program, y'all told me to deal with those feelings and not have to pick up anything. You know, and I was like, that was real. No, that's foreign to me. But every time I had a feeling, any kind of feeling, it was to use. So to go through that process and have the love and support I had, it was through the room. And through the room, you know, like I say, I always felt like I was less than and nothing and nobody. You know, and my family, no, not knowing nobody, I ain't blaming nobody. They always told me I was nothing and nobody. They always told me that. But when I got to the rooms in here, y'all didn't tell me that. You know, and all the time I wanted to be hugged and loved by my loved ones. I wasn't getting that. I got that here. Where I'm going? You know, come on, where I'm going? You know, because all the love I get here. And 9 times out of 10, if you come to my home group on a Wednesday night, you're going to meet me with a hug. Because that's where I learned to get my hug from, right here. You know, and I have learned how to live in the rules of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? It's nowhere else I could go. Everywhere else I went, I got put out anyway. This is the only place I could come, and I was welcome to, like, you ain't got to give up nothing. No money, nothing. You know, the first time a man hugged me in the room, they're like, hey, here we go. You know, here we go. And my sponsor said, sit down. You ain't going nowhere. I owe him something. You know, totally confused. My perception of life and who I was. But see, today I'm learning who I am through the rooms of, right here. You know, through identification, I'm learning who I am. You know, I'm finding out I ain't such a bad person at all. I'm finding out I'm really just a nice person. I'm really just a good person. See, I don't need you to validate me today. See, before, what you said about me was who I was. The people outside of Narcotics Anonymous saw me into, would tell me who I was and then who I became. See, today I'm learning who I am. Y'all are teaching me to just go on the inside. You know, go on the inside, Johnny, and pull up that stuff, put it out there, and start to heal. The word heal was foreign to me. Only thing I knew how to heal was somewhere I put some dope. If it's done closed up, I'd heal. But see, y'all talked about the inside job, and I learned that here. You know, I've been on some medicine professional tables and did all that kind of stuff. You know, I ain't got nothing against that, but sometimes, hey, let's do what we got to do. But I just went there, you know, and I just had a ball playing with his head. You know what I mean? And all my help and everything I needed was right here. It was right here. If I came here and applied myself, you know, and do what y'all suggested that I do, you know, and through the experience, you know, I'm starting to, you know, when I came in here, my head was down. And then as I stayed around here and started to work on myself, my low self-esteem, I would start to build up. You know, and I would start to open up like a butterfly. I would start to, you know, just bloom. You know, and it was a good feeling. You know, that's why I'm here, so I can keep going through whatever I go through and just be okay. Just for today and just be okay. You know, and through this process, you know, some of my loved ones have the virus, HIV virus, you know what I mean? And, and I know today it's like, I did everything to have the virus today. But the only thing I knew about safe sex was lock the car door. I knew nothing about safe sex. You know, and by the grace of God and the God of my understanding, I'm not HIV positive today. But I have loved ones that are, you know. And y'all told me no matter what, I don't have to use nothing. Y'all taught me that. Because if I go on the street and tell them about it, they'll tell me to put some in me. I know they'll tell me to put it in me. But y'all keep telling me, don't use no matter what, Johnny. You know, y'all tell me that. And I believe in the process. You know, they tell me it's the process. And for me today, God is the process for Johnny. You know, and I'm staying in the process, and I'm feeling that thing, but I ain't taking nothing just for today. And y'all taught me that. You know, y'all taught me that. You know, and I've gone through a lot of feelings and a lot of stuff up in here. You know what I mean? And y'all just love me through it. You know, through the newcomers, picking them, through all this stuff out of there. Y'all love me through it. You know, y'all love me through it. Y'all didn't turn your back on me. You know, and that's why I got to keep coming here. Because I know in my spirit this is where I belong. I know this for me is the God-given program. You know, and it talks about the degradation until the degradation was ready to do something different. You know, and I need to share this. You know, I didn't know how I was going to get here, first of all, before we started the process of coming up here. And I didn't know how I was going to get here. And you know, we're out, like they said, it's a weed program. And the newcomers, you know, look, I'm telling y'all, these newcomers are awesome. And my support group, they are awesome. We was out right after meeting Wednesday night. And we were just talking, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We were just talking. I'm like, man, I got to share. You know, and they told me, you know, when you ask to share, a Narcotics Anonymous, show up. You know, show up. And I wanted to show up real bad. I'm talking about the legal day in the morning gear. And let me tell you. How the God of my understanding works. We were sitting there at the table talking, and then these newcomers were saying, like, we going up. We going up, Johnny. We going up. You can stay with us. I'm like, wow, is this program awesome. You can bunk in with us. I mean, these are newcomers. You can stay with us, Johnny. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man. I mean, the love. You know, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. I'm talking about the love. You know, we came up together, and it's just been a ball. It's just been a ball, you know? And they sharing with me, and I'm sharing with them, you know, because I know sometimes, for me, it's like I'll be around here, and I'll get with certain people with some time, and I leave, and I just like, the newcomers, and then it hit me, like, where are the most important people in your life, John? And then I hooked back up with them, and we just kicked it, and it was like, it's been awesome. They've been just carrying me. Carrying me the whole week here. So I do understand if they, somebody can help you. I don't care how long they've been around here. You know, they got something, they can come to tell you. And me and another addict sit out last night. She had no clue what was going on with me, but her just sitting and sharing with me, she helped me. I thank you. Newcomers I'm talking about. So I know it's all ain't about me. You know, I do know that. And this program teaches me to talk about selfless love. You know, I hear people talk about this is a selfish program. I don't know where they get that shit from. But anyway, I know this is a selfless program. And that's what I believe. You know, and that's what I've been taught. You know, and that's what I tell others. It's not a selfish program. I don't believe that. You know, and that's just my belief. So, no. But anyway, you know, that's where I'm at. It's like, oh, that was good. I got all it out. And, but I'm just going to keep coming, you know, no matter what, I'm going to keep coming. Because I know for me, it's like, it's one sister sitting up in here, she know my story over and over again, but I know she's not here just to hear the story. She's here to support me. You know, but she know my story. She's about to sit there and blah, blah, blah. But she's here to support me, and I understand the difference today. It's like, I ain't going to hear her without her hair and him or whatever. It's the support. And I know I got the support I need up in here today. You know, okay, what I do in Narcotics Anonymous, somebody has been there to support me. You know, I adopted a little girl, you know, I'm talking about a dope fiend like me. You know, and they said it wasn't no way possible. I'm talking about, that's why I'm here, to give the hope, the message of hope. The miracles happen for me, they can happen for you. I'm talking about, I got a 6-year-old daughter today, and I'm a sister, can't have no kids. You hear what I'm saying? Miracles happen. You know, and it's the hope shot. It's the hope shot that I keep coming back for every day. You know, because somebody going to share my message or share something going to help me just to get through that 24 hours. You know, and that's all I need, just to get through. You know, because when I was doing slimy stuff in the room, the sister grabbed me and said, John, you know what? It ain't okay what you did, but you can get through this. So that's the stuff I need to hear. Don't tell me, it's okay, John. It's all right. No, it ain't okay. You know, and I don't tell people that goes out and use and come back, it's okay. But they never okay for an addict to use. I'm glad you're back, yeah. But it ain't okay. It's just not okay. We're dying. Why are we here? That's where I'm at. I need to stay there. But anyway, I guess I'm done. My name is John. I am an addict.
Okay, our next speaker is Vern, and his home group is 12 and 12 for Life.
I think I'll sit in. I'm Vern, and I'm an addict. And good hearing you, Johnny, but you left too much time. Why are we here is that, you know, you were saying a lot of good things. Why are we here is, to me, in the beginning, it's because I don't want to use. Because I plan and trip when it's all about taking. You know, we're in here to, today, like you are and like I am, to give. Because what was so freely given to us. Because when you come into these rooms, all you can do is take. You don't have nothing to give. You're empty. You're empty. There is nothing to give, you know. We tell you when you work these steps, you know, and you work that first step and you admit the powerlessness, that there's going to be a void there. And there's got to be a void there because our whole life, as it says, and why are we here, is about the getting and using in a ways and means to get more. And that's all it was about. If there was family in there, we took advantage of them to get more. You know, that's what we did as addicts. And through the process, when we come in here and we do that first step and we see all that, and we realize the powerlessness over our addiction and the unmanageability, and we begin to make choices, and we decide that we want to get honest, and we want to accept this, and we want to surrender. And when you want to do that, you create a void in you. Take all of that out. There's nothing left of us. Nothing. But what do you want to do about it? What do you want to do about it now? You know, I want to believe there's a power that can restore me to sanity, that can make me feel okay with me, because I'm a no-good son of a bitch. When I walked in this door, there was nothing I stood for, nothing. Whether it was family, friends, or what, I burned all them bridges. There was nothing I stood for. There wasn't a person I could turn around to and say, ain't I a nice guy? Hell no. You were a lousy son of a bitch to everybody you knew, because I used everybody. Didn't matter who it was. You know, my father tried so hard to help me. He had 15 years clean before he died. And by letting me in his house and trying to help me, I would take his TV on the way. I'd check the mailbox and get his Social Security check. You know, because we had the same name. It was easy to catch. And then I took it every month, and he would catch me sooner or later. Boy, when are you going to get some help? I don't need no damn help, you know. I'm fine with your TV and your check. I'm doing okay today, you know. And when I came in here, that's what it was about. That was what my past was about, you know. I didn't know what the hell to do about it. Every time I used, the guilt and the shame just grew. And it got so enormous that there was nothing. You couldn't stop it. That snowball was too damn big for me to stop. You know, I was not no damn Superman. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't fix it. That's what I needed to do to get out of active addiction. I had to be able to fix it all right then and there. And I can't. And it took a whole lot of willingness and sitting down with a sponsor and realizing that, hey, you can't do that. You can't fix all that. You know, that's the past. It's broke. You broke it. Leave it the hell alone. The only way you can fix anything is not to do it again. Just don't do it again. Don't steal from people anymore. You know, stop lying to people. Stop doing the things you used to do. And I heard him say that at the end of that first step. I said, well, that's simple. I'll try that. And I tried that. And I became honest with people. And I cared about people. You know, I listened to people. I did what was suggested. And I came to believe that this may work. I wasn't sure about a God yet, but that's why we don't put him into the third step. Because sometimes it takes these rooms, just the people around you, just the support system, you know, the sponsee brothers and stuff. Because people to talk to say, hey, you're going to be okay. You're not that person. You're a better person than that. Look at that. That's why you're here. You're here to change. And I've worked that process. And coming to believe, I started doing the right thing. I started loving people and caring about people and getting honest to the best of my ability. And that's a toughie, you know, because sometimes we get self-centered and want to lie. We want to keep shit in. You know, and it don't stop just because you got clean. It stays with you forever, because I still do it today. I just have more tools to work with today, so it don't happen as often today. You know, then in the third step, when I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and I said, well, now, what's that mean? Because I ain't sure about this giving things to God. I don't even know the man. How am I going to do that? My sponsor said, well, it's simple. Don't you feel good about what you're doing today? I said, yeah. He said, then keep doing it. That's the decision you have to make here. Turning your will over simply means that you're not going to do what you want to do, but you're going to do what God wants you to do. Because that's what you're doing today. It's what God wants you to do. Because God wants me to be honest and loving and caring and respectful. The addict in me wants to steal your shit and go use. You know, but I don't let him come out no more. I got him in check because I know why I'm here. That's why I'm here. To keep that addict in check. And I got to remember that on a daily basis. Remember it on a daily basis. And it gets simple. Time goes by and things get better. You know, you do a fourth and fifth step and find out you weren't unique. In my fourth step. And we never know when we're going to get help. We get help all the time. I get help constantly, and I get it from newcomers. You know? Because guess what? I'm not well. You know, I still got sickness. Believe that. And sometimes things just astound me. Like my four step, I couldn't do a four step. I was doing a search and imperilous inventory and I couldn't do it. You notice I didn't put moral in there. Because I wasn't thinking about morals, I was thinking about that inventory of what I did to people. And I couldn't write about my mother because I really felt that I did her great harm. And I couldn't write about it, and I cried about it for 2 weeks. And didn't know what to do about it, and called my sponsor. He said, boy, that's a tough one you got there. Why don't you do your father? Yeah. Why not think of that? Why'd I cry 2 weeks over this one when I could have just done another? Because I sure had a list of them. I just wanted to stay stuck. You know, and I was in that misery, and goddamn, we can live with misery. We live with misery for years. You know, when we get tired of it and we get willing, we get out of it. You know, and I changed and I did that. You know, and I got that morals. I found out it was about morals. It wasn't about what I did, it's about why I did it. You know, it's about getting rid of the past. You know, and I'm doing this stuff for one reason, because guess what? It's a 12-step program. Like you say, when you go to the doctor for insulin, you come to this program for 12-step recovery. If you don't do the steps, go the hell out of here. Because you ain't going to get nothing. Just don't come by osmosis. You got to work these steps. You got to apply them to your life. And that's the only way you're going to change. And the fifth step, when I set up that fifth step and I found out all these things, all these immoral things, And the good things. I had some assets. I had developed most of them because I had lost them for years. But I really had some assets. I really wasn't the rotten damn person that was out there. My addiction made me do the things I did because I had to get more. I just didn't know what else to do. Today I know what else to do. And I found out in that first step. And I looked at that, you know, and it set me up. My sponsor said, let's do a sixth step about character defects. Well, I don't have any now. We just looked at all that. So I don't know why we're here now, because this is all over. You know, there's no character defects here yet. Because we can see character defects. We know we're liars, stealers, thieves, cheats, manipulators. And these are easy things to fix, because they're big things. It's the little shit that's character defects that are hard to fix. Because we don't want to show them to nobody, and we don't want to get rid of them. We want to keep them because we like them. You know? And my sponsor looked at me and said, you got character defects. I said, name one. Did you a people pleaser mother? I'm not a people pleaser. He said, man, you do anything for anybody. Your daughter's got six cars. She's got one goddamn driver's license. Just because you have a used car dealership when she has a flat, you don't give her another car. I said, why is that a people pleaser? It's because you're doing it out of guilt. Because you weren't there for so long, and you just give. You're people pleasing. You give her a car, that's fine. Because maybe she needed that. She needed your help. But a half a dozen of them because she's got a flat or a busted water pump? Come on. And I had to look at that, you know. As different character defects that we have to look at going through this process. So I found out that I was here to change, you know, and that's what it's about. It was all about change. And you were saying something on, and you can't understand a lot of things. You know, one thing you said that I talk about a lot is it's a selfless program. It's a selfish program. This damn program is confusing as shit. It's a paradox. It is a selfish program, and it is a selfless program. It's about me. I am not giving up my clean time for your shit. But it's also about you. Well, we can confuse the shit out of you around here. So people that come in here and say, don't judge people. Don't take people's inventories. I hope you do. Because you may get some wrong information. And that's what we do here. I mean, I hear people all the time in Baltimore, because I'm from Baltimore City. And down there we do. You're not supposed to judge anybody. Well, I don't know about you, but I tell people, newcomers, when they come in, hey, listen to this person, you know. Go around the meetings and listen to people, you know. If you hear somebody you can relate to, somebody that sounds like they can understand you, you know, ask them to be your sponsor. Well, how do you do that if you don't judge what they're saying? if you're not taking an inventory of what they're doing, if you're not watching them. These are things you have to do. Paradox, it also says, don't be judgmental. There's a difference here. That means that if I hear you speak, and I don't like what you said, I don't take it on myself to make a decision. For me to sit there and say, this is, she shouldn't have said this, I'm going to go tell him and him and him what she said. Now, that's being judgmental. That's taking my opinions, my decisions, and spreading them. That's rumors. That's things that hurt people. I heard a guy say in his program one time, and you need to remember this, we're in a process of recovery. I'm here for the program. The program will not let me down. Watch out for the fellowship, because it can fuck you up. Because some people in these rooms aren't real honest. Some people in these rooms will lead you astray. And how do we do that? Uh-oh. Judge what we're listening to. Take an inventory. You know, look at what you need out of it. You know, look if it's good for you. If it's not, step away from it. Step away from it. Become selfish and say, no, that's not for me. You know, it's a paradox. This will hold all their things. There's not a slogan in this room you can't take wrong. You know, my sponsor told me a long time ago, the only thing you worry about in these rooms is the 12 steps of recovery. And I'm talking about the bold print. The bold print. I am powerless over my addiction. My life has become unmanageable. After that, you're reading people's opinions. And we all have them. We all have our own process. Some of the stuff we read in the first step, second step, all that, that we read in that book, we hear, we relate to, we accept it, and hey, that's good. Some of it we don't, and that's okay. The fact is, we got to remember we are powerless over our dicks. Remember the bold print. Remember the bold print. Because the process of recovery changes for every person here. Every person. There isn't one person in all the millions of people who are Narcotics Anonymous, there isn't two have the same recovery process. It's impossible. Virtually impossible. You know, this is our own process. The God of my understanding is my God. I tell people in the room, it's Vern's God, you can't have him. Get your own. Get your own. Because my God is what I'm made of. And that's the only way it can be, because the only way I'll do his will is if I believe in him. I have to be the one that believes in it. So, and you were saying one thing, you know, like, God, the God of my understanding, and I did this with my sponsor. My sponsor's here. I wish he was down here. He's up there working. And for years, and he's got a lot of years clean, and we sort of like tussled at this. My God was loving, caring, and forgiving. And he said, nope. What do you mean, no? So my God is not forgiving. Well, mine is. He said, how can he be forgiving? That would mean he judges. How comes that word we can't use again? Okay, well, to me, if I did remember anything from Sunday school and stuff, is God judges you, there is a judgment day. For some reason, that's stuck in my head. Judgment day. You know, one day I will be in front of God and he will judge what I did in this life. And I'm going like, he does judge. So, and he also forgives. That's what confessions and stuff. Well, my God's forgiven. He said, well, mine ain't, because he's not judgmental. And it probably took 3 years. And one day at a meeting, my sponsor turned around and said, I have a God who is loving, caring, and forgiving. Thank you, Vernon. And looked at me sitting out there. He said, it took him that long to hear what I was saying. Because, I mean, I was the newcomer, you know. I only had a couple of years. He's got astronomical years. And we tend not to look at the newcomer. To me, just like you were saying, they're the greatest thing in my life. I keep a whole lot of them around. My wife says, I love insanity. You know? My sponsor says, you love insanity. How many sponsees you got now? You need to stop getting sponsees. No, I don't. Odds are they aren't going to do anything. You know what the odds are of making it here? So when they asked me, will you be my sponsor? I said, of course, I'd love to. I'll be proud to be your sponsor. And I pray that they make it. Because the hardest thing is, call me tomorrow. Hell, I'll lose over half of them right there. Junk Street. That telephone's a bitch. If you ain't calling a dope man, you don't know what it's about. I mean, I could use a pager or anything else when it was for drugs. When he called for recovery, boy, that was a heavy mother to pick up. You know, but I found out through the process of coming here that, you know, I had to do that. And that my sponsees do that. And get a lot of sponsees and tell them to call you on a daily basis. Guess what? That's a lot of phone calls. Because if they do what you tell them, they're calling all the time. You know, I have three right here with me now that come to support me, as you were saying. You know, they've heard me 1,000 times speak, but they're here to support me, and that makes me feel good. Because that means they love me enough to be here. That means something's working. Something's working. And that's why I'm here. I'm here today because my sponsor told me, when you get 5 years clean, odds are you've heard just about all of it. Now, what the hell are you going to do with it? Give it away. Because if you don't give it away, you don't help the newcomer, you'll get real sick. Real quick. You know? Because that's why I'm here. I'm here today to help the newcomer who comes through. And don't think I don't mean it. Don't feel good when they get time. I got one coming up on 5 years this November, and I'm so damn proud of him, it stinks. But we used together. He found me in the rooms one day. He just walked up and hugged me. He said, I thought you were dead. I said, they'll think that about you too.
Yeah.
On the corner. Because the fact is, I had been in the rooms for a few years and they didn't know where I went. Because I had to change people, places, and things. So I got the bed rep. He died. He OD'd. You know? And when he saw me in there, it was like, it worked for you? I said, it worked. And he's coming up on 5 years. Guess what? It worked for him, too. And I was so proud of the fact that here's a guy used with it. I really didn't get along with. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm part of this four stuff. You know, he fought me a few times. You know, I'm like, you can take that shit off of it. You know. He's supposed to have been here this weekend, but he had some commitments and he couldn't because we were going to do his 12th step while he was here. Because he finally got through all the steps. He's done his 12th step. And, you know, that's what I was thinking. Well, he did four steps and all that. Did the 8th step and I'm still on the list. And I'm like, well, what amends do you need to make to me? Well, remember the time that you took me to cops 3 o'clock in the morning and I said cops are coming around with all the shit and I didn't give you nothing. I went, we can forget that one. We can forget that one. That's not what it's about. You know? What it's about today is that, you know, you're okay. That I'm helping you today. And you're helping me. Because every time they call with a problem, boy, I get gratitude. Because I go right back to the day I walked in here and I remember the first part of why I was here, the getting and using and the ways and means to get more. And I look at it, the people I harmed, the things I did, you know, and they come up with some crazy stuff, you know. They ask questions that, like, I think my 7 and 8 year old might be able to answer. Of course, they're not sick yet, you know. And some of us aren't even 7 and 8 mentally coming in these rooms. You know, my 7 and 8 year old can tell their father and their mother. I have permanent custody of them when they see their father and mother. And they look at them and they say, why don't you stop doing drugs and go to meetings with Pop? Christ, it comes out of their mouth. But it can't come out of moms and dads. They're not that well yet. They don't know. You know? So I come here and I work a program today. It's about helping other people. In the beginning, as I said, it was all fake. Today it's a whole lot of give, but I still get the take, you know, because they come up with things and they ask me things that make me think, you know, and I look at it. Because I deal with that on a daily basis. You know, I call my sponsor. I talk to my sponsor. My brother just died, June 9th. You know, last year I couldn't make it to this meeting. My daughter got married. That's a story you'll love. My daughter got married on August 25th last year. Now, I come to this Unity Fest every year. And she asked me if I was going to be in a wedding. Well, if I had to, I guess I would be in it. Now, this is how stupid I am. I didn't realize the father has to be there. You walk him down the aisle. And I'm like, yeah, if I have to be there. And she's like, our dad's real confused here. I can see it. So she came to me a few weeks before the wedding and said, Dad, I need a commitment. I said, what's wrong now? Because you're talking my N.A. shit here. I need to know, are you going to be at my wedding? I said, am I supposed to be there? She had to walk me down the aisle. I said, then I'm going to be there. Because she didn't know if I was going to be at this retreat or if I was going to her wedding. And while I was walking her down the aisle, and I got halfway down there, my phone rang. And I answered my phone, and it was one of my sponsees that he came up here. And he just, you didn't tell me I had to do a workshop. How am I going to do? I said, I'm walking down the aisle right now. And he could hear the music, and he says, oh, I'll call you back. And my daughter looked at me through her veil and just smiled. Because she's that happy about what I do today. She's that happy about my recovery. Well, we got it at the end of the wedding when the bride and the groom danced, and after they were done, they called me to the floor and said, your daughter wants to dance, second dance with you. And everybody's like, that don't happen. Everybody gets on the floor. But my daughter wanted to dance with me. She wanted a special record from me. You are my hero. You are the wind beneath my wings. And she sang to me. This is a girl that I left at 7 years old who found me when she was 20. Found me. I didn't find her. Because they weren't a part of my life no more. Drugs was all my life. I left all that behind. You know? And my brother died. God, did he bring things in. Because when my brother told me he was going to die, and I mean, I just couldn't take it. I couldn't take the pain that came with it, you know, and I just cried. It was one of them snot cries that I couldn't stop, and I didn't know what to do. He's dying of cancer. Do you need a lung or a kidney? Or I mean, I don't know how come, but all my shit's good. As hard as I tried to kill myself, all my shit's still good. You can have some of it, brother. Because I have a loving, caring relationship with him, you know? And there was nothing I could do. And I cried. And I didn't know what to do because my brother's the only one I had to call. And my wife turned around and she said, call your sponsor. God damn, I forgot about that family. Because that quick, I was self-centered in the four of me shit. And it could have got me high and I didn't even see it. And I picked up the phone and I called my sponsor and I called my sponsees and my sponsor brothers and they started calling. And by the time I got to the hospital and took my brother to the hospital for his hospice, everybody called. I come out of that hospital an hour later, had 7 messages on my phone. People supporting me in this fellowship. The funeral. There was more people from N.A., my sister-in-law, his wife. Jesus. You got more people coming in and out of the rooms than we got out of the family. You know? But that's what this fellowship is about. That's why I'm here. I'm here because this fellowship is my way of life. Because this is how I live today. I live by helping newcomers. I don't hang out a whole lot with guys with a lot of clean time and stuff. Because guess what? I've got some clean time too, and all we can do is sit down and lie. Because I ain't telling you that I got a problem because you ain't got it and we got the same clean time. And if you ain't got it, goddammit, I ain't letting you know I got it because I don't want to be the guy who's got the problem. You know? But I could tell a newcomer I got the damn problem. They'll say, yeah, I know. I've got that too. You know? I can talk to them. I can relate to them. I can sit there and I can grow from the newcomer. Because the newcomer puts new shit in my life every day. Good or bad, he puts new shit in my life on a daily basis. That's why I'm here. I'm here because every day I learn something new. And I have to. I have to work on a daily process. Just for today is not about using anymore for me. Just for today is about a new way of life. And just for today, I have to learn something new every day. I work on it every day that I learn something new. Because I know there's spiritual principles, there's assets out there, shit that I don't even have yet. And I think I got it all. Sometimes I think I'm damn near perfect. As soon as I do, God steps me right back. And God shows me real quick. You know, here's a problem for you. Deal with this one. Yeah. Your brother's dying. Oh, shit. What am I going to do? Well, God ain't helping here. God's taking my brother. You know? And he said it hurts because of the love. Because this is a negative and a positive program like we talked about in the beginning. And in order to feel love, you have to feel pain. And the more you learn to love, the harder the pain gets. The harder the... When my father died, it hurt. I cried a little bit. I was in jail. I think I cried because I knew that Social Security check wasn't going to be there no more. I don't know why I was crying. But when my brother died, anyway, he died and I loved him. 6 years of solid, loving relationship with my brother. With him being at all my anniversaries. With him coming to me for help. You know, and I didn't know how to handle it. And he said, one thing you need to do is sit down and talk to your brother. You need to make sure everything's okay. And I did. And I went and I sat down and I talked to him. And we sat there. And I said, why? Why you? You're not even an addict. I tried to kill myself all them years. You're not even an addict. And, you know, you're going to die. He said, well, I spent 33 years raising children, being married, taking care of you, taking care of mom and dad until they died, taking care of the family, friends. He says, I still have people calling to know if I'm going to be okay to finish their plumbing. And I'm dying here. But the fact is, I've always loved people and cared about people. And I've done it all my life. And I'm 57, brother. He says, so when you get 57 years recovery, you talk about fucking dying, because that's when God might want you. Because you got a lot you owe. Because a lot of years you hurt people, and you got a lot of years to go to make up for it. And he put me right in my place. You know, it's okay. You know, I can accept the fact that he's gone. You know, I put it in perspective. I'm here to love and care about other people. And he did it all his life, and I never even saw it. I never saw what he was doing. Now I can see what he was doing, and I can see what I'm doing. And I can see that much more that I am doing God's will today, not my will. Because my will wasn't to love you or to care about you. My will was to take advantage of you. Today it's not that way. Thank you for letting me share.
I'd like to thank the speakers for their spirit, strength, and hope. And can we have just for the day from the microphone?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lou. I'm an addict.
Hello.
Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs.
Yes.
Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and have found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Okay, we have a nice little quoting. Can you form a circle and close with the reverse into the serenity prayer?